The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Thanks. That stops quite abruptly, doesn't it?
Yeah. You're always ready, aren't you?
No, well, I shouldn't really tell people this, but just before we came on air, I had to rebuild absolutely everything.
Yeah, you're up all night.
We lost a disc with all the jingles and everything on it, so I was busily patching it all together again just before we came on air, which was a bit of a laugh.
The joys of owning a radio station, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. I want to say a big thank you to the sponsors of the second half of the Business Bunker Show. We're pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet, the facilities management company. They're a commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing and much, much more. If you want to find out more about all the things that they do at Spinnerjet, then drop them an email, info@spinnerjet.co.uk. We're going to speak to Barry Thompson and John Sanderson of Alpha 311 in a moment. I just want to do a couple of things before we do that. What have you got, Jules?
I'm just looking. So Tracy M. Barker has said, so true, talking about Alison Palmer's interview. She says, I quoted that statistic yesterday. 97% of our local businesses are SMEs and micro. So, I mean, that's huge. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And people don't understand that. And they make regulations for big corporations, but they're a fraction of the business community. It's ridiculous. And talking about such things, it's an absolute pleasure to let you know that the Kent and Medway Business Summit will be taking place on Friday, the 15th of January, 2021. The Kent and Medway Business Summit will return for its fourth year on the 15th of January with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and strategy for a return to growth. Hosted annually at the University of Kent by the Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Businesses, the Institute of Directors and locating Kent, the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and latest developments in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. If you want to find out more or register for your place on it, if you go to kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register. Let me give you that again. kenthospitality.kent.ac.uk/register. If you didn't get that down, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/summit and you can find the links there. So, I caught up with on Zoom John Sanderson and Barry Thompson of Alpha 311. They have the most amazing innovative product that they're bringing to market. And I'll tell you what, why don't we just listen to what they've got to say about it?
Yeah, I want to hear good news.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Barry Thompson and Mr. John Sanderson of Alpha 311. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good.
Hey, Paul. Very good. Very good.
Brilliant. Now, I know that you chaps have been incredibly busy, and that's not a surprise because what you've been up to is absolutely brilliant, and we're going to hear all about that in the next 20 minutes or so. But why don't we kick off just by you guys introducing yourselves and tell the listeners a little bit about each of you.
Well, I'm Barry, ex-Royal Air Force, in IT for 20-something, far too many years, with investment banks, live in Whitstable, by the coast, absolutely love it. And, it's been a manic few months, but the lockdown, I can honestly say, it's probably been kind to us. Sure. Everybody's healthy, which is the main thing, and they've stayed healthy. But it's meant that we've been able to just crack on and do some great stuff.
Okay. Well, let's meet John, and then we'll kind of talk about what you guys have been up to.
Yeah, sure. So I'm John. Similar background to Barry. I've been investment banking in IT for far too many years, moved around a bit, moved into project management, program management, Barry and I crossed paths maybe far too many years ago, more than I care to remember. And we've stayed in touch since then. Mm. And we've done a few side projects, shall we say. And this is our latest one. And it's this is the one that's really got everyone's attention. And it's keeping us, as you've rightly already said, Paul, you know, keeping us incredibly busy. Mm. Yeah, but we'll get more into the detail in a moment.
Yeah, we will. Sure. I just want to say something, and I want your view on this. Like you, my background is in banking and IT, and I know a lot of other people whose backgrounds are in banking and IT. Do you think there's something about working in that environment that makes us more inclined to entrepreneurialism?
That's a really good one, actually. I think you're... the pace is very fast, as you rightly know, you know, you know, in that environment, and so the demands on you are very high.
Yeah.
So you have to think on your feet a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So maybe that, you know, that propels you to come out up with these side ideas and sort of, you know, go after your own ideas, sort of thing. Yeah.
Inherently, we're problem solvers, aren't we? But we
yeah, sure.
Because of the environments that we've worked, especially within the banking environment, you tend to problem solve very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the time. You've got to come up with the right solution.
Yeah.
Or as close to the right solution as possible, as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And one of the things that I found in my time there is there's no hiding place.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No.
Absolutely.
You know,
not.
Yeah,
no.
They will seek you out and find you within.
You are exposed. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And the charlatans are very quickly rumbled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm surprised I lasted 25 years in IT and banking.
No, it was well known, Barry. No, it was well known.
It's no secret. It's definitely no secret, yeah.
No, it's just something that struck me, you know, with a number of people I've been talking to recently, and how odd we all have very similar backgrounds. You know, it's just a thing that struck me. Anyway, look, let's talk about what you guys are up to, because you have been very entrepreneurial. You've been doing loads of different things, but you've come up with this absolutely stonking idea. And I know you've been working on it for a while. So why don't we kick off? Why don't you tell us what you've come up with? And if you don't mind, I'm interested in finding out what inspired you to even look at it in the first place, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. Well, if we tell you how it started. So obviously we pushing the Me Now project quite heavily, and we were doing a lot of traveling backwards and forwards, so we ended up spending a lot of time in the car together to different events and talking to different people. And it was around the time that the Kent County Council and local councils were turning off the streetlights to save money.
Right, okay.
And it pretty much the Alpha 311 project was born from that. And if the basic concept is that we wanted to try and find a way of taking away the cost from the local council,
right,
with regards to the power or the energy costs relating to the streetlights.
Right.
So I think currently Kent is spending upwards of over 12 million a year.
Wow.
Powering the lights. We looked, as part of this, we looked at how much Belgium spends. So if you ever look at the ISS nighttime image of Europe, Belgium's just this huge, Belgium and Luxembourg, the huge orange glow.
Right.
Well, Belgium spends around 900 million euros a year.
Right. Wow.
Lighting their motorways. That's just the motorways, because every mile of motorways.
That's a billion euros. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Bonkers. Yeah.
So, the idea for the turbine came from us two sitting in the car, driving backwards and forwards, and it developed rapidly from there. Really,
I think the thing was, it was like a flippant comment. Really, it was.
Yep.
Well, all this, you can see all this energy from the passing vehicles as we're moving up and down these roads.
Yeah.
Well, why are we not capturing this? And someone must have come up with this idea already. Someone, you know.
Yeah.
And we investigated it, and we realised that no one really had. No one really had. So,
do you know, it's a funny thing. I don't know. Have you come across a science writer called Matt Ridley? Matt has written a whole series of books on science, on all kinds of subjects, but he's basically a science writer. But one of his books is The Rational Optimist, and his latest book is about innovation. And one of the things that he cites about innovation is it isn't always the kind of breakthrough thinking that it is. More often than not, it's an accident. And it's also something obvious that people overlook. So, like, for instance, his big thing is, do you know what? It took 400 years before someone decided to put wheels on luggage.
When you think about it, it's bonkers, isn't it?
It's bonkers, isn't it? For 400 years, we dragged bags about before somebody said, tell you what, why don't we put a set of wheels on that? Yeah. So, you know, what John was just saying about your observations about traffic aerodynamics is a known thing. I was saying to Barry the other day when we were chatting, I used to own a motor racing team. And one of the biggest things that you talk to drivers about is getting in the air pocket behind the car in front, because it will, the kinetic energy will catapult you. Everybody knows about it, but nobody's done anything about it.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what. Yeah, go on.
We looked at what other people had tried to do.
Yeah.
And there's designs where they'll put a wind turbine on top of a lamppost, on the very top.
Right.
So you're not really capturing the air. If I'm stood next to the road and a bin lorry goes past, I can feel that energy as it goes past me, and it's only doing 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So then we looked at what other people had done, that putting any sort of turbine by the road, and saw a number that had failed, and looked at, well, why did they fail?
Yeah.
Oh, they're too heavy, they're too big, they need to be powered in order to start turning. And you then start ticking off, well, if that's the problem, what's the solution?
Yeah, yeah.
And we very, very quickly got to a potential solution.
Right. So describe to the listeners what it is that you've come up with, and then we'll kind of move that story on from there.
So we've come up with a wind turbine that looks a lot like an air filter, for want of a better description.
Yeah.
But it fits around an existing lamppost.
Right.
So rather than put in new infrastructure, the infrastructure's already there.
Yeah.
It attaches to the lighting column, and as a car moves past it, the energy from the air that's displaced causes the turbine to turn.
Right.
The blades to rotate around the column. Mm. Now, the way that this works really, really efficiently is that if you want to get more energy out of a wind turbine at present, you need to make it bigger.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the what they call the swept area, but it's the size of the blades and the rotation of those blades. So the bigger you make it, the more energy you can get out of it.
Right.
I think the Chinese are doing an 800 and something foot high turbine at the moment.
Right.
And it needs to be that high because the blades are so big.
Yeah.
But the other way that you could do it is that you increase the airspeed.
Yeah.
You've got no control over that normally.
Yeah. With conventional wind. Yeah.
Conventional wind at all.
Yeah.
Yep. And of course, if the wind's not blowing, and with a standard wind turbine, if there's no demand, then companies are being paid to turn them off. So we won't get into that.
Sure.
So, but if you put one of our turbines on a lighting column in the central reservation, number one, you're not next to the cars, because there's 3.5 meters of central reservation. But then you've got cars passing on either side, so you've got airflow coming on the left-hand side, and then you've got airflow coming on the right-hand side. So we're now increasing the wind speed impacting the turbine.
Right.
And because air is volume, you can get up to 8 times the amount of energy from a relatively small wind turbine. So that's the science and what we've devised.
Okay.
It doesn't have a central shaft. So if you hear of a horizontal axis wind turbine or a vertical axis wind turbine, that's the direction that the shaft is in. Well, we don't have a shaft,
right?
Because there's a great big lighting column in the middle of it.
Sure.
So we use a brand new type of motor in order to capture that energy.
All right. So you've come up with this idea. You've done a huge amount of research.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a prototype built.
Many prototypes built.
Than we built, and we've destroyed as well.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Ever sounds of fun that is, Paul. I tell you, it really
catastrophic. you're just sitting there watch it as the thing tears itself apart.
Right. Okay.
But we've sort of come through multiple iterations of that, and we're now at Mark 8 and 9.
Right.
Of the turbines, and they're the ones that you've seen on LinkedIn, etc., etc. Yeah. They're the two, Pinky and Perky, we call them.
Right.
Sitting on top there, and we've got our next generation that are being built at the moment, number 10 and 11.
Right.
They're being built currently, which is going to use a lighter material and the new type of motor that Barry mentioned a moment ago.
Yeah.
So that's our next major leap forward.
Right.
And then we've got other bits and pieces on our roadmap that we need to look at as well. So, okay. We're not under any illusion. We've got some serious product development to do ahead of us, but
we've
come a long way in quite a short time, to be honest.
Absolutely, yeah. And like any of these things, it kind of gathers pace, doesn't it? As you gain feedback, as you deploy it in real situations and things happen, you go, right, well, we need to modify that, or, we could do more with that. So I don't think there's an end game for any of these products, is there, really? It's an ongoing thing. As new materials are developed, I know nothing about this marketplace, but I'm assuming that at some point down the line, battery storage comes into it.
Mm.
That's actually key. So currently, anything that's offshore is demand-driven.
Right.
So if the wind's blowing really heavily and there is local demand, then that energy can be utilized.
Mm.
If there isn't the local demand, then that's when wind turbine companies are asked not to produce any energy because we're not storing it. So the idea behind Alpha is that if I come back, sort of step back a little. So when we came up with the idea and we were looking at the different designs for blades. We reached out to Canterbury Christchurch University. We did an event with Locate in Kent and announced this is what we were doing. Canterbury Christchurch were just building their new Edge building for the engineering.
Yeah.
And working with them and being the thickest person in the room, I think I felt, at that point, they introduced us to the head of fluid and thermal dynamics at Leeds University.
Right.
And we've been working with him for a year, nearly a year.
Must be coming up.
And we've been able to really develop the blade shape and how it will work. And pretty much one of the first things he did was he looked to see how efficient it would be. How much energy could we produce?
Yeah.
So he took all of our figures, all of our measurements. He put it through whatever massive calculations he's done. And he effectively said that if we put one of our turbines on a lighting column, say on the Thanet Way, then it would produce the same amount of energy as a 21 square meter solar panel.
Right. Wow.
In a day.
Wow.
Now, 21 square meters is huge.
Huge, yeah.
But it's useless if you can't store it.
Mm.
Especially when you think that between Faversham and Manston, there's 20 miles, 19.8 miles of A299, and there's 1,100 lighting columns.
Right.
Well, that's over 6 megawatts per day.
Right.
Now, if there's no demand, you don't want that energy going nowhere. You want to store it. So we've also started looking into the different sizes of battery units because we want to power a local school or we want to power part of a local hospital.
Yeah.
We want to make use of the energy.
Yeah.
So like we said at the very beginning, the reason why we wanted to start this company was because we wanted to save the council money. We don't want them paying 12 million a year. No, spend that on the people of Kent, please. Yeah. Add on the fact that there's a carbon tax associated with that as well, because it's not renewable.
Right.
So we take that away. But what if we can then, if we're producing, each turbine's producing 6 kilowatts, and that's the same size as a 21 square meter solar panel, what else could we power?
Yeah.
Because we're easily going to do the light.
Yeah.
So what else could we do?
Well, you could power my house.
You have to join the queue form, right? Queue forming.
I'll tell you now, we are nice and toasty warm in here because the two turbines are powering this office.
Right, okay. Well, I live on the main A28, so I've got traffic zooming past my house all the
there
time.
There you go, absolutely.
How many do you want?
So I interrupted you there, Barry, and I'm sorry.
That's
all right. So the starting point of this is to try to save taxpayers' money and save using non-renewable energy to power street lighting. So you've got a double whammy with that. Yeah. And you're doing that by offering this to councils. Moving on from there, you mentioned that you'd like to start powering schools, hospitals, and things like that. How do you see that unfolding? That's, I guess, dependent on the battery storage.
Well, the battery storage is there. So we've been speaking with a company out in Austria with regards to the different sizing. So but every application is unique. So a school will have its own power curve, as an example. When do they need to use the most energy? And you've got to be able to meet those needs.
Yeah.
And until you've had that conversation with a local authority or the school or hospital, whatever, you don't know what size you need. Mm. But from our point of view, even if we were going to put it back into the grid, we still need the battery technology to normalize that feed into the grid.
Yep. Okay. So you've got to where you've got to. You're on iteration 8, 9 and about to start on 10, 11. Yep. And then all of a sudden, in the last couple of weeks, it's gone.
In the last week.
Bonkers.
Yeah, so tell us what happened, chaps. Tell us what happened.
Well, it started with the KM, basically. The Kent Messenger group had a chat with you, Barry, didn't they? Over a Zoom call, and just wanted to do a small local piece, which we thought, great, that's excellent, fantastic. Yeah. Mm. And then it didn't really stop there. It got picked up by a news agency, and then the Daily Mail ran it, which was very flattering. I mean, you know, everyone's got their opinions about the Daily Mail, but it was a great piece.
It's published.
Don't read the comments. Yeah. Just don't read the comments. They're quite fun. And then it's been popping up around the globe. We've had it in Slovakia, Russia. Mm. Goodness me!
Interesting engineering
has
been the one that has just taken it, because they've got 10 million Facebook followers, and then they send it out to 150,000 people in a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And where we thought we were going to have a nice quiet weekend, we've spent most of the time prepping for calls with the US.
Right. Yeah. The interest that it's generated has been extreme, I think, is quite fair. And it's global as well, which is interesting. You know,
I think though that it's understandable, isn't it? Because it's such a clever, smart, and dare I say, obvious idea.
It is obvious, and that's what the point. Come back to, you know, why has no one ever done this before?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's part of what's so fascinating to people is, you know, these two guys in a shed in Whitstable have taken something that we all knew existed and adapted it to do something really, really smart and clever. Mm. How come smarter people, no offence, Jets, how come smarter?
No, none taken. Absolutely none taken.
how come nobody has done this before? And I think that's the startling thing. And then, of course, allied to that is how everybody, I think, Daily Mail readers aside, everybody, I think, is rooting for this because they're going, now that is something I can get behind. You know, because a lot of people that are into renewable energy aren't convinced by big wind turbines and offshore wind turbines and bat munchers and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And they struggle with it, yeah? But with something like this, you can go, now that is a product that will work. And you could power a single house or a hospital or all the road lights in Kent with the same device, just multiple numbers of them.
Absolutely. It's a compounding effect. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think one of the big things is, Paul, is that it, part of our business model from the outset was always that there has to be a community benefit for local energy generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, between John's Faversham, I'm Whitstable, and between the pair of us, we've got a 900-acre solar farm going in.
Right.
But that's not going to lower the energy bills in the local community.
Sure.
And we think that's wrong. Mm. So what we've said is, and it's in our financial model, which the investors are always, really? You're going to give money away?
Yeah.
But we're actually... have 30% of the energy revenue going back to the local council. So it's a revenue generator.
Yeah.
The turbines aren't sold. Mm. They're leased. And the lease cost is covered by that 30% of energy revenue.
Right.
So there's no capital cost on the council. Right. We're seeing over and over again the number of times that councils are losing out because of different schemes that have failed. Mm. So there's no capital cost to the council. A number of publications have said that these cost 20,000 each. They don't. They have cost us 20,000 to get to the prototypes. Mm.
That's a completely different issue, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But we're looking at recycled plastic. Yeah. We're looking at an ultra lightweight installation, which would be cheap to install. We want to be able to install 50, 100 of these per night.
Yeah.
So by simplifying that process, we keep the cost down and the impact to the local communities as well. But so we're looking in the region of less than five with manufacturing processes, we'd get that down even more.
Right.
So with that in mind, the lease cost is actually going to be quite small. Right. So you've got the money being saved by the energy that's powering the lights.
Mm.
You've then got the energy that's being sold to local businesses, local communities, but without the transmission costs. And this is the big thing.
Yeah.
The bulk of energy costs in the UK are transmission costs, and your renewable offshore, 50% of the cost to the consumer is the transmission from offshore to onshore.
Yeah.
By doing it locally, we reduce that to next to nothing.
Right.
So all along, this project is about where does it benefit the community where it's being generated.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I'll go off my box now.
No, you're absolutely right. One of my beliefs has always been as well that with the state of renewables technology as it exists, I've always felt that the way to move renewables forward was at an individual level. Mm-hmm. You know, what we've tried to do so far is recreate power stations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I've always thought is, but if each house had their own windmill, solar panel, I've got heat pumps, for instance. If we all had our own of those, we could power our own house locally.
Exactly. It's bringing it down to that macro level, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, absolutely.
Even to the in the 1970s, I used to work in the nuclear industry, and I've been looking at building my own nuclear power plant, but it's kind of not come together yet. But being sensible,
splitting anything.
Yeah. I don't need to now. I can use it now for 311. Who needs it? I love what you guys have done. I know that you're working manically on this, especially now that you've got the publicity and all these kind of things are happening. But it's a fantastic project, and it's got so many good parts to it. It's unbelievable, from the eco-friendliness of it to the localism of it and the money saving of it. It's just, it ticks boxes in all kinds of directions. So fantastic things that you've done. We're coming to the end of the interview now. If people want to find out more about what you're up to and how it's going, have you got a website that they can look at?
We do. It's alpha-311.com.
Is that numbers 311?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So alpha-311.com. Yep.
That's it.
Take a look at that, folks. John Sanderson, Barry Thompson, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We wish you massive success with this project. It is such a fantastic project. Please, get when you get a moment, you know, in the middle of the night or something, give us an update on how it's going.
We will, Paul, yeah.
But for the moment, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Cheers, Paul. Good to see you.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Lough Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at loughassociates.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Hey, what about that? Alpha 311.
Yeah, we're on the cusp of something.
Fantastic, fantastic innovation. Chris Hyde has been tweeting all the way through that, and he came up with some really interesting ideas as well about how you could use it along the edge of runways at airports and, you know, with jet wash and all the wind generated by thrusting jet planes. So absolutely a fantastic project. We're gonna try and keep up to date with what's happening with that, because it could be a massive breakthrough project and product.
I wonder if Alpha remember a few years ago, probably about 10 or 8, there was a young Kent College student, Lawrence, I think his name was, I can't quite remember, and from Canterbury, and he invented something that was like as you walked on it, it made like a moving pavement almost, and it generated electricity, and they were going to use it in shopping centres and things.
Yeah.
And I don't know whatever happened with that, but it was on the BBC News and the ITV News. And so, I mean, this is really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, fantastic. And it was really, really brilliant to catch up with the guys, because they've had a lot of publicity in the last few weeks from TV and national newspapers and stuff like that.
Well, I think the whole world knows that we've got to do something, haven't
we?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We can't just carry on as we are.
I've had a shout out from Telcare Limited. We'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please, for Neil Webb and Jill Serkin. It's a super show. Telcare are the telecom systems providers over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester, who provide telecommunications of all kinds. So do give them a follow on Twitter. Telcare, TelcareLTD, is their Twitter handle. Please do follow them. What you got, Jules?
And well, Alison has just come off the interview and just was speaking to Shaw Whitstable, and she says, please send me case studies. Tell us what's going on. We take case studies to the government to illustrate our arguments. So this applies to all SMEs that are listening. If you have a case study that you think would interest FSB, or if you need some advice and help, you can email alison.palmer, that's P for Peter, A-R-M-A-R, at FSB. .org.uk. So if you do have a case study that you think she should take to government, please send that in.
Fantastic. I was pleased to take part in ZC Live last Friday, and I just want to say a huge shout out to Zoe Gareth and the team at ZC Social Media. What a fantastic virtual event they put on. It was absolutely brilliant, and they smashed it out of the park. So congratulations to them. And they've also got a new exciting initiative at ZC Social Media, which is the Growth Academy membership site. And the ZC Academy, it's a training community for small businesses, entrepreneurs and social media managers, and it's a membership site all about social media and digital. The academy is full of in-depth training, live Q&As, calls, planning sessions and much, much more to help you plan, create and grow your social media. If you want to find out more about it, if you go to zcsocialmediaacademy.com. Cool. Do you know what?
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup, offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Some dates for your diary from the FSB. 30th of December, deadline for online submission of self-assessment tax returns for the 1920 tax year. If you want HMRC to collect tax through your tax code when you owe less than £3,000. 31st of January 2021, online self-assessment tax returns for the 1920 tax year must be submitted by this date. And the 6th of April, changes to the off-payroll working IR35 rules come into force. There's an FSB Folkestone Women in Business Brunch. It's virtual networking hosted by Wendy Flanagan. You can find Wendy on Twitter at the number one Holistic Home. That's all one word, Holistic Home, preceded by the number one is her Twitter handle. And this virtual event, Women in Business Brunch, is taking place on the 26th of November. At the end of this news update, I will give you the link for booking all of these or finding out more. Manana, tomorrow, Wednesday the 4th of November, there's a Maximise Your Membership event taking place at 11 a.m. Now more than ever is the time to make sure you're making the most of your FSB benefits. There's FSB Maidstone Virtual Networking on Wednesday the 25th of November at 4 p.m. Hosted by Peter Searle, for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome. The guest speaker will be the fantastic Amy Payne, from Prevent and Protect Cyber Officer for Essex and Kent Serious Crime Directorate. She'll be discussing how to keep your business safe online and free cyber resources that are available for your businesses. There's the Women in Business Big Zoom Brunch on Thursday the 12th of November at 10 a.m. Join FSB Chair for Women in Business, Deborah Turner, for a solid 90 minutes of the best networking you can get this side of Christmas. Meet individuals in the Zoom breakout rooms, make new business contacts, have fun and learn something new from fellow female entrepreneurs. Would you like to represent small businesses in local council board and stakeholder meetings? We're looking for driven, passionate business owners who understand Kent and what it's like to run a small business. You would attend meetings, mostly online for the foreseeable future, share the FSB's key policy messages and research while raising the profile of your own firm. You then need to give feedback and key points to the Kent FSB team. If you're interested in getting involved in this, please contact the development manager, Alison Palmer, by email at alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk. Likewise, expert panellists are wanted by the Financial Ombudsman Service. They're looking for new SME expert panel members whose expertise and experience can help it reach the right decisions in resolving complaints. It's looking for people who have experience operating at board level who could be called in on a variety of areas, including commercial insurance and forensic accounting. If you'd like to participate in this or offer your services, if you go to vacancies.financial-ombudsman.org.uk. Let me give you that again. vacancies.financial-ombudsman.org.uk. And that's the FSB news for this week. All of those things that I've told you about, plus any other events that the FSB have coming up, can all be found at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. And all the booking links for them and all the things that I've read out are all listed there.
Brilliant. And we just we hope, we're sending our love to all the businesses who are a bit concerned about this lockdown. Just keep on trucking. Come and visit our virtual venue where we're holding the V Southeast Construction Expo. Using the very latest technology, they can offer all things that make live events work, they say. Come and visit the virtual event where they are holding the Construction Expo. There's a unique networking and learning environment with great content, live Q&A and informative and expert speakers. Keep the dates free. They are the 18th and 19th of November. And you can go to www.constructionexpouk.co.uk, /virtual-construction-expo.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Barry and John at Alpha 311. The quote we've had many times is, "It will be as common as cat's eyes."
Well, there you are.
Yeah. And they say, "Thank you so much for having us on the Business Bunker Show." No, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure to hear from you. And we absolutely love what you're doing with this product. It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we really, really hope it goes big.
Global.
Yeah. It's got to go big. It's the kind of product that we've needed. I've not been a fan, certainly, of wind-generated renewables. I just think huge windmills are a nonsense.
And the solar farms, I hate.
Yeah. At least they work most of the time, whereas windmills don't.
Yeah, but solar farms only have a life of about 25 years.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Whereas this is brilliant. Yeah. It's unobtrusive. It's not very big. It works even when there's no wind.
Yeah.
And hopefully, eventually, see, what I said to the guys was, I live on the main road.
Ah, there you are.
See, I want one on my gatepost.
Yeah, down your drive.
Yeah, to power my house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can leave all the lights on. You never have to nag people to say, turn off the lights. Your dad used to do that. My dad said, turn off the lights.
My dad is me. I'm the one.
Well, I
do. Lucy, you've left your bedroom light on again.
I do, but my new husband's quite bad at leaving lights on.
Yeah, well, if you seen my electricity bill, you'd know why.
Yeah, well.
It's ridiculous.
But I've put sensors in some rooms. They're great. You know, where you walk in and it comes on and then it goes off.
I've just bought two of those, what do you call it, smart bulbs.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Yeah. No, I haven't got them to work yet.
Well, I've got Billy Dean did mine.
You got someone in to do yours.
I called him in, yeah.
Yeah.
But I've got my salt lamp comes on at a certain time and goes off in the bedroom.
Salt lamp.
Yeah.
Don't you use bulbs like everyone else?
Yeah, salt lamp. It's for your, what are they called?
Salt.
Yeah, it makes your environment healthy.
Does it?
Yeah, it's a bit hippie for you, I think.
Okay.
But it's very good. ZC Social Media is asking, is your Christmas campaign all set for the start of November? No. We've been starting on a training course for our ZC Growth Academy members. It's the Christmas Campaign Pop-Up School. Would you like to get your campaign ready? You can join us. DM at ZC Social Media for more info.
Fantastic.
You've got your turkey, haven't you, already?
I've ordered it. Yeah, I haven't got it yet. I mean, it will
be. Well, I'm thinking, I said to my kids, we're going to do Christmas, I think, in January, because Sydney, my daughter's going to Dublin because that's where her boyfriend's family live.
Right.
My other Ibiza Fitness Food, Josh, is going to Dubai for Christmas. So it'll be the first Christmas. It's just me, my mum, Gav and Shay, possibly, and Mimi.
Hold on, I'm adding that up. Is that below the number?
Under, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, quite a small turkey, I think. But I do like leftovers, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I like a turkey sandwich.
I've got
a
Kelly Bronze coming.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What time's she coming?
Huh?
Kelly.
Ha, ha, ha. I tell you what, fantastic turkeys. They cook quicker. Yeah, gorgeous. And
Well, I, of course, get my Riverford. I've had Riverford Organic for years. And I can't order it until Thursday. So I'm going to wake up Thursday and press the button.
I'll tell you what we have with ours, turkey crackling.
Oh, how do you do that?
Ah, it's a secret.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the recipes that comes with a Kelly Bronze turkey.
Oh, can you send it to me?
No.
Why?
Yeah, because it's secret.
Oh, that's not fair. I do love crackling.
What you got?
Well, specially designed poppy cabs. You can find them on the Twitter at Poppy Cabs. They have, Paul Andrews, an enamel badge, which is for Remembrance Sunday, which is available for a minimum donation of £5. You can email poppycab@virginmedia.com, and they raise funds for the taxi charity, which is at Taxi Charity, and the Poppy Legion. What is the taxi charity? Do you know?
Yeah, they're black cab drivers, and they
can
run.
Can't say that anymore. I don't think you can say black cab drivers.
It's not the colour of the drivers; it's the colour of the cab.
A person that drives a black taxi.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just thought you don't know what you can say anymore.
Oh, for
Paul.
Goodness sake!
You don't.
London cabs. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. London cabs have a charity where they raise money for various things, all kinds of things, and they have a London cabbie. Poppy it's a lovely little metal badge, which is a black cab with a poppy on it.
Other colours are available.
No, they're not. No, they're actually not. No, it is only available as a black cab with a red poppy.
Voo Service, she said, moving swiftly on, celebrates its 15th anniversary with complete rebrand. We love a rebrand on the show. So after 15 successful years in business, the recognised cloud solutions provider, Voo Servers, today has announced the company's complete rebrand to Vinters, which is in line with how the business has evolved over the recent years. And Matt Parkinson, who's the founder, and he founded it in 2005, said he set it up with the aim of using IT to help the day-to-day running of businesses. And since then, it's grown from a part-time operation, offering white box dedicated servers other colours are available, from a shared rack to a significant rack. Doesn't that make you think of lamb chops and things? I don't know. I think I'm hungry, Paul Andrews. To a significant player in the hosting market with locations in the UK, Frankfurt, another hungry-making word, New York, and Seattle, serving hundreds of clients around the world. So you can find them on vinters.com. Have a look at their rebrand and see what they can offer you for the cloud products and Oracle hosting.
Fantastic. Ibiza Fitness Foods, Hello Vanilla Web, Jules Sirkin, Business Bunker, strange times again. Avoid busy supermarkets. Let us deliver our chef-cooked meals to your home or office. If you want to find out, and I tell you what, the meals are absolutely gorgeous. They are stunning. And they're very healthily planned as well. That's the big deal about it.
Yeah.
If you go to IbizaFitnessFood.com, that's their website, you can find all the meals they have and you can book them and get them ordered and pick your plan and pick your meal.
And they
do
drinks
everything.
And snacks. But not only that, Paul Andrews, people that...
Well, those protein balls they used to do. God.
Yeah, but you were only supposed to eat one of those.
Yeah, and you ate four, didn't you?
Or six, I think, because I had some on the way home.
Oh,
didn't tell my new husband. Yeah, I just scoffed them. But if some people are actually skinny and they need to bulk up, so they will help you bulk up if you need to. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be a nice problem to have? Don't you dislike people say, oh, I need to put on weight. I eat five donuts.
No. When I was a teenager, you could see my ribs, and no matter what I ate, you could see my ribs, and I was so self-conscious about it. I wouldn't go swimming or anything.
I can't imagine seeing your ribs.
Well, I was so skinny. It was painfully skinny. Yeah, and because I wanted to play football and all the rest of it, and I really needed to bulk up, I used to try and eat as much as I could, and it didn't do me the slightest bit of good. And then the day I turned 30, poof, my entire body fell apart.
The menopause.
And the men apples, and I just started putting on weight.
Other persons are available.
Yeah.
Not just men.
In different colours, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they can help you bulk up or, of course, lose weight, whichever you wish.
Kent Tweetups have tweeted and said, oh, we love listening to Shaw Whitstable. Welcome to Twitter. And to the high street, they say.
I know that Nick is going to be busy all day now photographing all his gorgeous things to try and sell them.
No, he's going to be busy all day answering everybody that's tweeted him on his new Twitter
and
account.
Trying to work it out.
Yeah.
And I
said, I can't work this.
He said, I think I've opened it. And then I said, but you're good on Instagram. You know, I find personally Instagram quite difficult.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
So the knock and check campaign, just a reminder about this, we did read this out last week, but it's set up as the annual Surviving Winter Kent Community Foundation initiative, and it was launched in October. So you can find out on the website, it's kentcf.org.uk/knock and check. And they're asking if you could help to offer with your elderly neighbours, or if there are neighbours that you haven't seen for a while, you could help with their shopping perhaps, or share something you've baked, give them magazines or books. You see, you could give them a bit of your turkey crackling. Books you've read, arrange for prescriptions to be delivered, etc., or simply just say hello. It's things like, I think, you know, I pop round to see my mum, but I drag a bin out every Sunday night. I always go and drag a bin because she lives on a hill.
Right.
So, you know, her recycling bin, that's quite heavy. And she goes, it's all right, I'll do it. She's very independent, but she's annoyingly independent. but, you know, I always try and drag bins out. So that's something you could help with as well.
Yeah. My old mum, bless her, was going bananas because her bin blew down the road. And
it has been windy.
Yeah. And
did she catch it?
She did go. She did have
galloped off.
She galloped after. She's 91. She'll be 92 in January. She galloped after it and picked it up. And it turned out that there was something wrong with it. And she'd been asking the council to provide her with a new bin for ages.
Oh, well, don't get me started on that. Well, actually, funny you should say that, because I came back on my bicyclette yesterday along Tankerton. I've decided I'm going to beat them at their own game. So I'm now cycling on the promenade.
And cutting the grass as you go.
But they left, you know, we had gale force winds. It was 46, I think my Alexa said, the wind speed. And they just left my food caddy. It was 10 houses down the road. I had to gallop after that with my bike and hang it on the
You got an e-bike, haven't you?
How do you know?
Because you told me yesterday.
Did I? Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about that. The only thing is with my knee, it doesn't quite go round properly. So I'm having to sort that out. I'm going to have to take the saddle out. If you see a woman riding very high with a saddle, I need a penny farthing, really, to get the stretch.
I had this funny conversation last year with Amanda. I said to her...
What, another one?
Yeah. I said, I think I'm going to buy a bike.
Yeah.
And she says, well, where are you going to ride it to? I said, well, I go and visit my mum every Saturday, or I did when we were allowed.
Yeah.
And it's an 18-mile round trip. I said, I'm going to cycle to my mum's on a Saturday. And she went, no. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll get an e-bike.
Yeah.
So I don't have to cycle.
They are great.
So she said, why don't you just go in the car? All right, yeah, good idea.
No, they are good. It's kind of weird because I test drove it yesterday and you pedal and then you suddenly go whoosh, you know. You think, hang on a minute, you know, right. It's like a little moped.
Do you see in Canterbury they're trialling e-scooters?
Yes, I did. No, I didn't actually, but I'd be interested in that as long as they stay off the pavement.
Well, the thing is they're banned by the government. The government have got them banned at the moment, but it's a trial, you know, because the way they're doing it is like Boris bikes.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you don't own it, you just use it.
And you can drop them off. And
yeah, yeah. And there's an experiment going on in Canterbury to use them between the university and the city centre.
That would be great.
So it'll be interesting to see how that works out.
But I still think that if they're very vulnerable, like bikes are, and they're on the road and they need to wear helmets, and will they? No.
I don't know. I don't know. How does that work with Boris bikes?
You could lock it up with the bike, couldn't you?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But there was it Coventry that's already banned them in the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, they're banned anyway. The government don't allow them.
They brought in the same sort of process to trial it, and it so many complaints by pedestrians that they stopped it in 3 weeks. I can't remember which city that was. It was either Coventry or Liverpool or one of those.
Yeah. Okay, I need to tell you about this. I've been kind of trying to put it off.
Crackling?
No, it's not.
That's all I'm
really much worse than that.
Enough.
It's the latest changes to the coronavirus job retention scheme.
Oh, no.
I mean, for goodness sake, I'm going to tell you this, but it'll change tomorrow. You know what the government are like. The coronavirus job retention scheme, which was due to end on the 31st of October, will now be extended, with the UK government paying 80% of wages for the hours furloughed employees do not work, up to a cap of £2,500 a month for periods from the 1st of November. You will need to pay all employer national insurance contributions and pension contributions. You can choose to top up your furloughed employees' wages beyond the 80% paid by the government for hours not worked, but you are not required to do so. There will be no gap in support between the previously announced end date and the extension. How will it work? Who knows? You will have flexibility to ask your employees to work on a part-time basis and furlough them for the rest of their usual working hours, or furlough them full-time. You will have to cover their wages for any hours they work, as well as all employer national insurance and employer pension contributions. You will be able to claim either shortly before, during, or after running your payroll. There will be a short period initially when the online claim service will be closed while we update the system, and you will be able to claim in arrears for that period. Further details will be provided as they become clearer. This is the government telling you they're not clear. Yeah. For more information, go to gov.uk and search furlough scheme extended. So that's gov.uk and then search furlough scheme extended. So if you're looking to participate in that, and I assume a huge number of employers will be, it's kind of fluid at the moment, but it will move from the 60% coverage back to the 80% coverage for November at least. What you got?
Well, whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them. So why not enter the Maidstone Awards and the Ashford Business Awards? The hashtag that you need to use is capital M Stone Awards 2020 or Ashford Awards 2020. It's a free entry and you can go to businessawardskent.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you. Have you got anything else?
No, I'm cool. I've finished all my reading.
Have you? I've kind of finished mine as well. I'm just trying to catch up on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is busy.
There's lots of conversations going on, but not a lot of shout-outs. There are people talking about Alpha 311 and talking about Alison and the work
Lisa,
that the
Lisa doing. Settle said, Lisa M. Settle on the Twitter. She says, what an amazing idea, talking about Alpha, transferring energy from traffic, wishing them good luck with bringing this to fruition. Mm-hmm. I love that word.
Fruitician.
Yeah.
Only because it's got the word fruit at the front.
Yeah. Is it fruition or fruitician?
It's fruition, yeah.
Yeah, I knew that, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it says fruit, doesn't it? Yeah. So, and that's what attracted
hungry.
You.
It's 2 p.m.
Yeah, I know you are. You wanted some turkey crackling.
It's you that brought it up. That's the trouble.
Yeah.
And Tracy Ferguson said she's very impressed with the publicity they've had too. So thank you for that. Chris Hyde has been popping up here and there, and he says, the joy of radio station ownership, especially when it goes wrong, B Bunker. And the Green Business Hub, did you mention them? I think you did.
I did mention them, but it is worth another shout out. But we're kind of at the end of the show, to be honest.
Well, hello, Green Business Hub, anyway.
I did shout them out earlier, and Martin, who runs it, did recognise that. But we've reached the end of the show. I want to say
quickly.
A huge thank you to our three guests, or four guests, Alison Palmer, Nick.
You annoy me when you do that, because I've just put all my papers away. I'll tell you in a minute.
Anyway, I haven't got time for that. To Nick, John, Barry and Alison, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye. The Business Bunker.